you didn't say what you said about Cousins.
I'm here to talk about the game.
Cousins, first down, going deep for Diggs. He makes the catch.
Any other questions besides about Kirk Cousins?
Cousins, Diggs, he's got it.
Dale Arnold.
But I think the guys that are best at it are guys like Christian, myself.
Life's weird. It really is sometimes.
Rich Keefe.
Do you think he's coming back?
Yes.
You
do not.
Yes. Dale and Keefe. Middays.
You can give yourself, hey, yo, I want to be known as Wiggy the Wiggler.
D-.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keefe. Dale is off today. We got Wiggy the Wiggler, Jermaine Wiggins
that's
in the
right,
house.
That's right.
Every Monday, every Wednesday during
AKA
the football
flip
season.
Flip the page. So I just gave myself another
another
nickname.
One, flip the page.
Yeah.
That's your other one. Ian Rappaport just tweeted out last hour. This is the whole tweet. A potential big lift coming. The hashtag Patriots are expected to have first-round wide receiver N'Keal Harry practice this week. As he works back from injured reserve, I'm told, assuming all goes well, he should work right into the offense.
Wow.
Do you have that kind of optimism about N'Keal Harry? As
no,
Ian
I told you.
Does?
He's a Jet. I told you.
It's just another dude.
Just another dude. When you look at this Patriots.
First-round pick dude, though. That's a
yeah,
dude, right?
It's a dude with more upside.
Yeah, that's so there's a lot
more
of upside.
Physical upside to him than maybe a Jacoby Myers.
Right. Although I like Jacoby Myers. There's
I do too.
Something about Jacoby Myers. He looked good on Thursday. Four attempts or four passes his way,
right.
Four catches.
But that's just another dude, right? Do your job, dude. You get four. You get an opportunity to make some catches.
Yeah, you do it.
You make some
you
catches.
Come up with it.
But is he a guy that you can see? Maybe we need him to go out there and get you eight catches, 125 yards.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
Julian's getting doubled, really having a hard time getting off.
Well, that's the thing. And if Julian is playing and is getting all the attention, and if Josh Gordon's out there and getting some attention, then maybe Myers does
find
his way open.
But who gets attention besides Edelman?
Yeah.
I think that's
the you probably don't really need to go too much
at Gordon. That's the issue that I look at is you have a bunch of guys that are can do what they're supposed to do, but nobody is really going to be garnishing attention from defenses besides Edelman.
They don't really have that. And I don't know if it's probably not N'Keal Harry either. Just
no.
Rookie receivers, even when they have a full camp and they're healthy week one, have a tough time. I know the counter to that would be, well, they've never had a first-round pick wide receiver, although Chad Jackson was close, like 36th or whatever. They've also had some other guys in the second round that didn't really pan out for him, but N'Keal Harry, and again, based off of that tweet, it sounds like he is going to return. They can only bring back two guys off of IR, and therefore that would end, if they do make it official, and we'll see what happens this week, that would make it either Devlin or Isaiah Wynn would be done for the season for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it does sound like it would be Devlin, and they would have to just move on without a fullback, and you get your left tackle back, hopefully.
Right, and
that's the hope.
That's kind of what we're all looking at right now.
Yeah. We were talking about Antonio Brown last hour as well. Manny in New York disagrees with Wiggy. Manny, what do you got?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks
Good.
For taking the call.
Sure.
Hey, Wiggy.
What
normally
up?
I agree with what you say, but on this, you couldn't be more wrong. The NFL colluding against Antonio Brown, that's just crazy. I mean, this guy's got some very serious allegations that have been levied against him by multiple women. And the fact that the NFL's taking their time, I give them kudos to them. I mean, the last thing you want to do is get this guy out on the field and then have these allegations come out to be true. It's going to be, you know, just another black mark for the NFL like we've seen in years
Yeah,
past.
But Manny, they never put him on the exempt list while he was on the
right.
Patriots. The Patriots actually did the league
right.
a favor, and now the league is making it harder for him to come back in.
Well, yeah, because he's a free agent. He can't end up on the exempt list. Somebody would have
right.
to sign him first, but that's neither here nor now.
Well, no, it is, because when he was right. here, he didn't go on the exempt list.
They had the opportunity. Well, NFL had the opportunity to put him on the exempt list after they met with Brittany Taylor for 10 hours.
Yeah, he was here for 2 weeks,
yeah.
and it was the Patriots that caught him.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, I mean, from the time that the NFL met with that Brittany girl and the time that the Patriots caught him, it was a pretty short period of time. And in fact, the league probably had a good idea that Kraft is going to get rid of this guy.
I don't think so, Manny. I don't think so, because they met with her on Monday. The text messages came out Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
We found out about them, I think, was it Thursday we found out, or Friday?
It was Thursday morning we saw them.
Or Friday, maybe.
No, it was definitely Thursday.
Okay.
So we might even knew about them late Wednesday night. Because
he practiced
the Instagram,
that whole week, though.
The Instagram post came out late Wednesday night, I believe.
So he practiced, and he would have been ready to go and play in the game on Sunday.
Well, they had
he had not been cut Friday afternoon.
Right, but they're going
into practice. They were under the impression of coaching staff and Bill Belichick that he was going to play on Sunday.
Yeah, I just think it was dumb, again, what he did. But if they talked to her on Monday, and if they – I'm surprised they haven't talked to him yet. And I think now that he's not on a team – they're just like, all right, we'll take our time.
We talked about this yesterday on NFL Sunday, where we said if they really got something super incriminating on Monday, the day they met with her for 10 hours, they would have put him on the exempt list Tuesday,
right.
Wednesday, Thursday, so they like to protect themselves, knowing, well, we don't want this guy to play on Sunday, and then now something comes back to bite us in the butt. But they didn't do that. So that led me to believe that they ain't really getting no new information from Brittany Taylor.
Not enough to take him out, because the main thing would have been, all right, maybe let's say they believe every word she said, and it was all horrible stuff. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't they at the very least get him into a meeting real quick? And get his side,
get
just
his
so you can
side.
Say he had it, and then put him on the exempt list. But that didn't happen. So I don't know how this struggle is going to work. I mean, we're already about to finish week 6 in the league. They're not in any rush to do it. I thought he was going to be on a team. I thought he was going to take a few weeks off and somebody was going to bring him
we
in.
We said week 10.
And I guess we still have time, but I'm not feeling as confident about it.
Well, the way the NFL is going, Antonio Brown pushes the NFL, and he has to push them, like I said, with a lawsuit or with the players' union push the players' union to say, hey, you got to give Antonio Brown some type of answer.
Another developing story with the Patriots has been the playing time of one Michael Bennett. Of course, they acquired him in the offseason, and I think a lot of us looked at him as the Trey Flowers replacement. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, you lose Trey Flowers. He's a free agent, signed a big deal with the Detroit Lions. That makes sense. Good for him. He moves on. And then here comes Michael Bennett, 3-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl winner. You know, he's a veteran guy, but he's been a part of some really good defenses, and he's been a great individual player. Well, every single week he has played a less percentage of the defensive snaps. Week 1, 55%. Mm-hmm. Seems to be a pretty big part of the game plan there. Then week 2, 40, followed by 38, 30, 25, and this past Thursday, 22% of the snaps, a total of 11. He played in 11 plays. And so we've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. Nick Underhill from The Athletic, he wrote an article about it, and he starts out by saying Michael Bennett's addition hasn't worked out the way anyone expected. And that's just it, because there's no way Michael Bennett thought he was playing this much.
No.
But the Patriots also don't, you know, make a trade for him and then give him a new contract if they expected it to go this way.
No, I think they expected him to contribute and play more. But it seems like the way the defense has kind of evolved, and maybe the way he's performed, that they feel, you know what, we feel like there's other guys that can do a better job than him. And when you look at the position he plays, defensive lineman position, there are times when they only got two guys with their hand on the ground.
Right, exactly.
And they play a lot of defensive fronts where it's two defensive linemen, maybe sometimes one, and everybody else is standing up, moving around. And they probably feel like, they feel like he can't do that. So we got to use him specifically for this one role, and that limits him. Maybe they don't think that he's as good as a run defender than Lawrence Guy, mm-hmm. Adam Butler,
a monster season.
And Danny Shelton.
Yeah. Underhill writes, the easy and probably correct explanation is that New England has players better suited for the role Bennett has been forced into on early downs. Throughout his career, Bennett has been at his best playing in wide positions at defensive end or moving inside to a 3-technique position. Operating primarily out of those roles last season, he racked up 9 sacks for the Eagles, looked good, all this other stuff, on and on and on. Underhill writes, on Thursday, Bennett didn't see the field until the second quarter and then took his first three snaps lined up directly over the tackle, which all came on early downs. He took on double teams on two of those plays. Later in the game, Bennett had some opportunities to line up wider and go after the quarterback, but he wasn't able to get much going. And he talks about the difference in usage is significant. Because also for another guy, for some of these pass rushers, you think about it. If a guy has a 16-sack season, that's a monster season.
Yes.
It's also one a game.
Yes.
Right? Just one sack a game is all you're looking for. But that's a monster season. But you got to be out there, don't you? Don't you need to get a flow of the game a little bit?
Well, you got to be out there to get those reps in order to make those plays. There's no way if you're getting – and it's really hard to get people to understand the percentage thing, right? When you say, oh, he played 28% of the snaps, it's really hard for them to understand
that. Yeah, right.
But if you look at Michael Bennett's snap count in the against the Giants, I think he only played like –
It was 11 snaps.
11 plays. So imagine that.
And for some of them, they're just asking like, hey –
11 out of 50 plays on defense.
Take on a double team and make our linebackers look good. And some guys, that's what they do, and that's fine.
But there's no way you can be – I mean, I guess you could be productive if you only get 11 snaps. You just need that opportunity to present itself. You need to be in a passing situation.
That's tough, though.
Right. It's got to be 3rd and 15, 3rd and 10, where you know they're going to throw the football. They line you up. Now you have an opportunity to make a play for a sack. If you're getting double teamed, they're running the football. It might be a little bit difficult. But if you're only playing 11 plays out of 50 – you're not getting many opportunities.
No, you're not. And then to your point about the defensive linemen, Underhill points out that the Patriots have played 102 snaps with two or fewer defensive linemen on the field,
right,
which equals 30%.
Right.
So they have so many good linebackers, the boogeymen.
The boogeymen,
as we refer to them. And so they're out there all the time. So there's less of a role for Michael Bennett.
Right. And he's kind of throughout his career – I don't think he was known as a guy who was a run defense of defensive lineman.
More of a
pass rusher.
Yeah.
So now we're only playing two defensive linemen at times, maybe sometimes less than that. And on first down, we're going to need that defensive lineman to play against the run.
Right.
Your skill set doesn't really fit for what we're asking you to do.
Yeah, it's weird because the defense is great. There's nothing more you'd really want them to do. They're loaded everywhere. They have a good D-line. They have great linebackers. They have great secondary. And then you have a guy who has had a really good career coming in here, and he's had to completely change his role. And what's amazing is if he continues to play less every week, are we looking at a spot where he becomes inactive? Like, that's the way it's trending. Like, 11 plays? Like, what's next?
Right.
Five?
What is next is being inactive.
Yeah.
You're right. The player that I would compare him to the most would probably be Dedrick Wise.
Oh, yeah. So the player on the team?
On the team now. When you're talking about guys that kind of get similar reps, they're asked to do.
I was going
to
say, because Chase Winovich, I know he's a little bit of a different player. But
when is the last time you've seen? I know that he plays defensive end.
Yeah.
But Chase Winovich is more of a.
Is he a boogeyman?
He's a boogeyman.
Okay.
He's in the boogeyman category.
Okay, all right.
Dedrick Wise.
He's not.
And Michael Bennett are not in that category.
And even then, I think Wise plays more than Bennett. Slightly. Like not significantly. You know,
Michael Bennett got 11. Wise might get 13 or 14.
Yeah, right.
But when you look at the boogeymen, how many of them really put their hand on the dirt?
Yeah, they don't a lot of times.
Right. And they're moving around.
Right.
But you can't take Michael Bennett and stand him up and move him around. So he can't be a hybrid. He can't be pop boogeyman and pop demon.
Well, I don't know if that's stuck yet. Are we going demon for D-line demon?
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Maybe I'm not. Shyam, how do you like
falls
that?
Falls into the nightmare in
I'm
New
out.
England.
It's You're like out on
demon?
Right?
You're out.
Find I'm out on demon.
Well, let's find a new name.
We need a name for those the big fellas up
the
front.
The DBs are the exorcist.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Boom-shakalaka!
What about the Draculas?
The Draculas?
Yeah. Does it have to be a monster?
Yeah, monster.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, the monsters?
Oh, there's the monsters of the Midway. Yeah. That was
the Monstars.
No.
Monstars, yeah. Somebody brought that up.
Yep.
But you know, but Calhoun can go
right
both ways at times. Bennett doesn't have that ability, and that's what doesn't get him on the field as much.
Greg's in Scituate. He joins us next. What's up, Greg?
Hey, first of all, big fan, Keith.
Thank you.
First time calling in. Listen every day.
Very nice.
Also, I got a question for Wiggy.
Yo.
Hey, Wiggy, would you rather have cucumbers for fingers or carrots for toes? Whoa!
That's old school right there.
That is old school.
Like, bringing that Hey, Wiggy back.
Probably the cucumber thing, right?
I don't know if I'd want cucumbers for fingers. I'd rather have carrots for toes. Because cucumbers are too big.
Would you be slow, you think?
Well, you wouldn't be able to grab anything.
What, no, about, yeah, that's true.
Think about
if you had carrots for toes, I think you'd be kind of a mess.
Well, you know, are they the small carrots? I mean, what are those, miniature carrots?
Baby carrots.
Baby carrots.
I mean, I could have baby carrots for toes.
Yeah, you'd be all right.
There's no baby cucumbers.
No.
So there's only big cucumbers. Imagine walking around with cucumbers for fingers.
Nah, it's low-hanging fruit.
You'd get nothing done. Out. You wouldn't be able to work your cell phone.
Could you pickle them?
Could you pickle them?
Yeah.
What do you mean, cut them off?
No. Pickles are cucumbers.
Oh, are they?
You didn't know that.
I didn't know that. So the pickle is in the cucumber family.
I just taught Wiggy.
I did not know.
No, they're not the family. They are that. That's what they are. And then
the pickling is like a method in which you
the act of pickling,
wow,
is like an acidic thing that
turns a cucumber into a pickle. So every pickle you've ever had was at one point in its life a cucumber.
Oh, okay. So a cucumber goes. So it's the
like a metamorphosis.
So it's basically the butterfly and the
caterpillar. Butterfly.
Yeah,
in a way. But you have to do it because cucumbers wouldn't turn into a pickle on their own. You need to. Act of pickling, you need to take
it's
part.
It's technically like a form of cooking, but you're not actually cooking it.
Yeah, how does it work? You throw a bunch of vinegar in a jar, basically, or something.
Yeah, it's like an acidic reaction that the cucumber has.
Wait a second. So how do you get a cucumber into a pickle?
You, for lack of a better word, you pickle it.
All right. But
yeah,
I mean,
that's exactly what you do.
But what is pickling? So is pickling like, do we take this cucumber? Because a pickle is generally smaller than a cucumber.
Well, no. It was a cucumber, maybe just how you cut it.
Wait.
Pickling is the process of preserving or extending the lifespan of food by either anaerobic fermentation in brine immersion in vinegar. So I was right about the vinegar.
So
thing.
It would shrink the cucumber.
Maybe it does slightly.
Well,
they actually also have smaller cucumbers. They're not all like a foot long.
No, they're not. They're not all foot long.
I don't know. I'd rather be a cucumber than a pickle. I know that.
you're both, though. You're one of the. If you're a pickle, you are a cucumber. Just like not all squares are rectangles, but all rectangles are squares. Or is it the other way around? Did I screw that up?
I think you got it.
Yeah, whatever.
So basically, I did not know that. I learned that. So
that's good.
So the cucumber is the pickle. Is a miniature cucumber that's been...
It was brought into the world as a cucumber, and then it ended as a pickle.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks for that call. Thanks to Greg, we never would have gotten there. We never would have landed there. Do you think that Michael Bennett... Like, where do you think this thing is going? Like, is this going to kind of level
potential
off?
Potential trade.
Okay.
Potential
I like
trade.
That answer. I like that answer.
Potential trade, or he becomes... an inactive, and then it's...
He's going to get
But does he say
that.
Anything?
He hasn't really... Well,
I know he made the little saying of...
I don't know, zero roll.
Zero
roll. Kind of half-laughed, and then he was talking the other day and was saying how...
Does he go...
But he dropped it, you got to ask Bill? That's not a great sign.
Does he go DEFCON 1?
Oof.
Is that one is the baddest,
one's
right?
The worst one,
right,
yeah.
Does he go DEFCON 1? Well, or does he stay...
6 weeks he hasn't.
So is it 1 through 5 on DEFCON?
Ooh, yeah, maybe. Shime?
Okay.
You got a DEFCON gauge for us?
Is it 1 through 5?
I think it is. I think one's
DEFCON 1 through 5.
Okay. Yep. So, or does he stay where he is, where he's probably about a DEFCON 5, right?
He's probably at a 5 right now.
It's a zero roll, go ass Bill.
Yeah, a couple little smarmy comments, but nothing, not taking attention away.
Right.
You know, he's not... We certainly haven't heard about a trade demand.
It's
or
flying under
play.
The radar. You would not know that.
It's quiet. Again, the team's 6-0. The defense is the best in the league. You just happen to have a guy that... And also, when he has been out there, have you noticed anything, good, bad, or indifferent?
I've noticed a couple maybe pressures.
He's got a couple of sacks in the season, hasn't he?
Like, I've seen a couple pressures, maybe a couple half sacks.
Yeah.
But he's what is he? He's a Jad.
He's never been a Jad.
And now
he's just another dude.
He's a Jad on defense.
Yeah.
Just another dude. Oof. Doing the role that you're asked. Can guys, there are certain guys that can't deal with just being a Jet.
Yeah, and I wonder if he's one of those guys just because he's had a good career.
He's had a lot of success throughout his individual success throughout his career.
Right.
So it comes down to, does he go DEFCON 1?
And at that
or even 2, where he basically, you get him in front of the locker one day and they ask him about his role and something sets him off or he's inactive. Hey, why were you inactive?
Or do you fear that maybe he will and then you have to trade? Because the trade deadline's coming up. So let's say he does go DEFCON 1, but it's in week 12. Well, now you can't trade him.
No.
You know, now you got to either cut him or you got to deal with it. And again, it's not bad yet, but I wonder if it will. And I wonder if he is one of the names that when they're calling other teams and they're trying to figure out deals and, you know, you don't often get player for player deals. It's usually player for a pick. But maybe, I wonder if he's on the block for this.
And another thing that we haven't taken into consideration, if you trade him, does that maybe free up any money for you to maybe to go and get a player on the offensive side?
Yeah, it might. It might save you a little bit of money. I mean, I don't know what the deal is as far as dead cap space when you trade him and all that other stuff. But because
that's something that they could look at. They could look at a potential team in the NFC that needs a pass rusher or somebody that can get after the quarterback and maybe make a move there.
Matt's in Wareham. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing?
Good. So I have a little game beyond the game thought I was thinking of the other day that because it doesn't make sense why they even signed him. Michael Bennett, but my whole conspiracy theory was that they were getting him to persuade Marty Bennett to come out of retirement, thinking that, you know, because of the brother thing, I know they have always wanted to play together on the same team and everything, and it was just a thought that I was thinking that maybe that's why they signed him.
Well, you know what? I mean, I think if they wanted to bring Martellus Bennett back, I think Bennett might be interested whether or not Michael was on the team or not. What do you think? I think Martellus is just done.
Yeah, he's done.
I think he's just done. But hey, I like the outside the box thinking. You know, why not
keep him around to sway him to get his breath? Well, what's taking so long?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, he's been on the team all season,
right? What's
and taking they've been throwing to Lacoste and Izzo, so it's overdue. So long? I think he's done. I think he's doing his imagination factory or whatever he's doing. That's what he's up to right now.
Yeah, he's doing kids' books.
Yeah, we're gonna get Wiggy's AFC power rankings, his top five teams in the AFC through 6 weeks of the season. We'll do that when we come back.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Take the belt, go deep. Anderson's out there. This is going to go the distance. 92 yards. Darnold to Anderson. Here's Darnold's throw to the goal line, and Griffin reaches back. It's a touchdown.
Loverboy was back for the New York Jets. Sam Darnold gets their first win of the season. They beat the Cowboys. I thought the Cowboys were good. I guess maybe not. They're 3-3 now on the year. Darnold is back, which I think at least makes next week's game a chance to be competitive. It had no chance if it was one of the backups.
Nah, a little bit more interesting.
A little bit
depends
more.
Depends on how you feel about Sam Darnold, right?
I think he's decent.
Okay.
Or has a chance to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, out of all those guys, like Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and him, he's definitely better than those guys.
Is he the best quarterback that you face this year?
Yes, he will be. Or who do you like more, Daniel Jones or Sam Darnold? I think Sam Darnold's a little bit better. No?
Jury's still out.
Yeah.
I would say the best.
But if you had to pick somebody, who do you think it is?
The best quarterback you faced this year was probably Ben Roethlisberger in week one.
Even though he was kind of...
Yeah, we.
Mess,
I mean,
yeah,
we didn't
probably.
Know. We didn't know that he had an elbow injury. And
not
we don't
a great
even know.
List. So
not a. Yeah.
So Darnold would probably be second. I don't know how you would rate Baker Mayfield. Then maybe Lamar Jackson. So before the bye week, Lamar Jackson might be the best guy.
The best quarterback that you will face will be Carson Wentz.
No, Pat Mahomes. No,
well, I'm saying he'll be the first and
the
best.
First, really
yes,
good
the
one.
First All really right. good quarterback. Let me All rephrase right. that.
Well, sort of in that same vein. We're through 6 weeks of the NFL season. The AFC has now seen the Kansas City Chiefs lose twice, back-to-back weeks at home.
Right.
And I'm very curious, Wiggy, what your AFC power, your top five
power
rankings would be.
Power.
We know who number one is, but let's go I say we go 5-1.
Five through one.
That's how you would probably do this. That makes the most sense.
I was thinking 2-4-5-3-1.
Kind of jump all around if you don't mind. Throw darts at. No, 5-1. All right, even though we already know who number one is.
Starting at number 5 on my list, the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
Baltimore Ravens on my list.
Lamar Jackson. You see the stat that was going around yesterday? They're like, Lamar Jackson becomes only the second quarterback ever to have over 250 yards passing and over 150 yards rushing, or whatever the numbers were. The only other guy to do it? Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's very talented with his legs. Still haven't.
He could scoot.
He could definitely scoot, but he still hasn't shown that he could be that pocket passer.
He was so bad in the playoffs last year, but he seems to be better than that. They didn't have Hollywood Brown. He was not playing yesterday. Mark Ingram
was playing
good for Bengals.
Bengals.
The Bengals.
The Bengals.
They beat them by a touchdown.
Could be the worst team in the NFL.
There's a chance. There's definitely a chance. You get the Ravens number 5.
I get the Ravens number 5. Number 4.
Number 4.
John Anderson's going to like this one. The Indianapolis Colts.
You got the Colts at 4, huh?
The Colts at 4.
All right.
Jacoby Brissett is a good game manager. I don't think that you can win with him throwing the football all over the place. Their ability to run the football, their offensive line, and I think they have a solid defense.
Defense is solid. I will give you that.
The coach, is decent. Good coach.
Okay. Interesting.
Number 3. Now, here's where I got a little bit. I got there was a little bit of a struggle between 3 and 2. It was a struggle. It was back and forth.
Right.
I mean, I'm shadow boxing. You know what I mean? I'm shadow boxing myself, trying to figure out who's 3, who's 2.
Yeah.
And I came up with number 3.
Yes.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Whoa. All right. Back-to-back
losses.
It was
a fight. It was
not
a fight.
Not the second best team anymore.
It was an internal strike.
I got that.
Internal fight with Wiggy the Wiggler. And
Wiggy the Wiggler's got
Kansas City number 3.
All right.
Because they have no defense. Number 2 on my list.
Yeah.
The Houston Texans.
Oh, boy.
Now, do I think they could beat the Patriots when it comes to a playoff game? The coaching's going to be the issue. But
yes,
defensively, they're good.
They got some guys.
They have
Deshaun Watson, I like.
They have a good quarterback in Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
That has the ability to make some plays with his legs. They have a very talented receiver in DeAndre Hopkins.
I think one of the keys for them is if Will Fuller is healthy, their offense looks a whole lot different, but he's always hurt.
He's always hurt. Yeah. Notre Dame guy.
Yeah.
So they would be number 2, and the Patriots number 1 on the AFC Wiggy power rankings.
Wiggy the Wiggler's top 5 power rankings. I got to ask you, the team in the AFC with the second best record.
Ooh.
You don't have in the top 5.
Nope.
So you don't think the Buffalo Bills are a top 5 team in the AFC?
No, because their quarterback is so bad.
Well,
I would take every other quarterback.
Yeah, but you have Jacoby Brissett and Lamar Jackson up there.
I would take them ahead of Josh Allen.
Well, they are better than Josh Allen, but I don't know if it's a huge gap.
That's why.
But Josh Allen, they're never out of a game or in a tough situation because of them. Now, he can put them in some tough situations, too.
Well, that's an oxymoron right there. They are number 6 on my power rankings.
But in your top 5.
They're not. They're on the outside in looking in.
But their defense is better than any of those other teams' defenses.
Their defense is, yes, it's better than any of those other teams', but you still need some offense.
See, I think they're better than the Colts.
I do. I don't think so.
I think the Chiefs and Ravens I would still have above them just because your quarterback can't be that bad. Like, teams with bad quarterbacks that win... But
so you would have
a line somewhere.
So you wouldn't have the Colts in your
top five no,
power rankings.
I wouldn't yet. I know.
See, I don't know if Buffalo could go into Kansas City and beat them.
Oof.
The Colts did do that. I will give them credit.
That's true.
They went
You're a good point. That's a really good win for them.
And the Colts can run the football. They got two runners. What are the two running backs that they have?
Colts have Marlon Mack.
Yeah, and the other kid.
Hines.
Yes, they have two good running backs. The Buffalo Bills,
they got Frank Gore still.
Old man Frank is their key back.
Yeah, he killed the Patriots. Well, he had over 100 on him.
Yeah, he did, but
He did that against the Pats, that's the against guy, the Boogeyman?
But that's the guy that you're relying on. Not that he hasn't had a great career.
No, I'm not really sold on them either. I think what we've also learned is there's a big gap between the Patriots and everybody else.
Didn't we think
it was Patriots, Chiefs, then everybody else?
That's what it was.
Chiefs are kind of in that everybody else group now.
They are starting to look that way.
Yeah, they are.
They're starting to look like, they might not be a superhero.
I don't think so. I think they're still good.
They're not a meta mutant.
They're not a meta mutant.
They're humans at this point in time.
Standard human. Not a cyborg.
Yeah, not a cyborg.
No, I know.
And when I look at the Texans compared to the Chiefs,
yeah,
I like the Texans defense better than the Chiefs.
Yes, I do too.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs might be one of the worst defenses.
And the Texans offense is decent. It's a good offense.
Yeah.
You play that game in a divisional round, whether it be in Houston, whether it be in Kansas City.
Right.
I'd say bet the Chiefs. I mean, bet the Texans.
You take the Texans?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Dante in Boston. He joins us next. What's up, Dante? Dante?
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
Just wanted to touch base on a couple things here. So we've seen the Patriots do this a couple times with old vets coming in. You kind of know what you're going to expect. See if they can give you that, you know, elite performance, and then, you know, if not, there's no loss taken. So with Bennett, I don't think he's going to be traded this year just because of the fact just how the NFL has been going with injuries and whatnot. But he definitely doesn't fit, you know, the versatile defense that we play with linebackers lining up, you know, 3-point stats, whatnot. But I do definitely think he'll be on the chopping board for trades at the end of the year, and just like Jamie Collins, maybe get like a third-round pick for him or something. And then I also wanted to touch base about the wide receivers.
Right.
See your guys' thoughts on this. So a couple weeks ago, there was talks about Emmanuel Sanders, Diggs, AB, and whatnot. Here's how I look at it. So as an organization, you can't, you know, tell the owner, you know, air out his dirty mail, so to say. So I don't think AB comes back. The only way I see AB coming back is if Brady and Kraft have a heart-to-heart. Brady's like, this is my last year. Let's go all in. You know, do me this solid favor. Let's bring it home.
Yeah, I got you, Dante. And the first part about Jamie Collins and Michael Bennett, Collins got traded in the season. He got traded in the middle of the year. And they would have gotten a comp pick for him had he just walked away, but you get that pick a little bit sooner. You get it a year sooner if you just trade him away. So that's what they did with him. I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Bennett did get dealt. And then as for the Antonio Brown thing, I mean, we've talked about this a lot. I don't know if Brady could give a hard sell. I mean, he could. I don't think it would work.
They have to do something, right?
They do need to do something.
Actually,
looking at the AFC, I don't know if they have to do something, but it would certainly make things a little bit easier. Yes, it would be.
Okay. If they do something and get a player, they get that Weapon X, what we've been calling him.
Weapon X.
If they do something, aren't they
a 10-point
favorite? Yeah. Book your flight to Miami against everybody you play against.
And if not, you're better than everybody, and especially if you have home field, but It wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world if they didn't make it.
Right. Defense just, for whatever reason, that wasn't their day. Or
if they lose 17-14.
Right.
If you saw that, you say, well, the defense actually did pretty well. 17 points against Mahomes or against Watson or whatever. Right. Like, hey, that's pretty good.
16-10 game like you did against Buffalo. Right. Except now you flip it.
It could happen. It could definitely happen.
So they have to do something. And that something is, when you think about guys that are potentially in this world or on that trading block world, that guys we've heard about, Stephon Diggs. But Stephon Diggs has a massive game.
Right.
Do the Vikings now know that they win? Because you asked, maybe the Vikings are still in it. They're still a team that can make the playoffs.
Well, let's actually do that. Let's do that coming back. Let's go. There's a handful of guys that we've mentioned a lot of. And let's look at what they did on Sunday and if there's a better or worse chance that they get dealt in the next couple of weeks. We'll do that. Plus your phone call, 617-779-7937. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Getting you through your workday, it's Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Cousins, first down, going deep for Diggs. He makes the catch. Stephon Diggs, touchdown. 62 yards. Play action. Cousins. Diggs. He's got it. Touchdown. 51 yards. Play action. Cousins to the end zone. It is Diggs. His fourth touchdown today.
Well, that was my guy, Stephon Diggs. I thought we were getting close, Wiggy. Mm. I thought he was about to demand a trade. I thought he was getting mad. He's winking at reporters. They asked him if he likes being there. He right. wasn't getting the ball. They didn't throw the ball to anybody for the first 4 weeks. Last week, they threw it to Adam Thielen, not to him. Well, Stephon Diggs yesterday, 7 catches, 167 yards, 3 touchdowns. Mm. In a win over the Eagles.
Yeah.
The Vikings are now 4-2, looking like a playoff team.
Right.
Diggs looking like a stud again. He's not getting traded, is he?
No. Things are good now. Things are good now. Thielen was last week. Now is Stephon Diggs.
Kirk Cousins, 22 of 29 for 333 and 4 touchdowns.
You paid him $84 million.
You did pay him a lot for it.
Right. You might as well throw the ball all over the place.
But I'm sad that Stephon Diggs is likely not going to get traded now. Another guy that we liked is Emmanuel Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
He got hurt in the game, but it doesn't appear to be too significant. Because I guess they're playing this Thursday. They have the quick turnaround. And one of the reports is they're optimistic that he could play. But he did get hurt in this game, and they won again.
Right.
So they were 0-4. I still don't think they're very good, but they were 0-4, the Broncos. They've won back-to-back games. They just shut out the Titans. By the way, the Titans, you see what they did?
Oh, man.
God.
And
Marcus Mariota just straight up got benched.
And I love the fact that in the morning on the Greg Hill show, Ken and Curtis are like, yeah, Brady, Tennessee? Do you see the weapons?
They need more than Brady. Because I was kind of on that train too. I could see him going there, but just because of Vrabel and just whatever.
But that
they got shut out by the Broncos.
They stink.
So Emmanuel Sanders, if Fourier had the scoop a couple of weeks ago, remember that Sanders wasn't going anywhere.
Wasn't going anywhere.
And that was before they won back to back games.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about that? Probably not great.
Well, is Denver still, even though they won back-to-back, they're 2-4.
2-4, yeah. They could trade him. I mean, he's way more likely to be traded than Stephon Diggs.
Do they think, here's how we have to look at these organizations. Yeah. They sit there, and is John Elway sitting in the coaches meeting with Vic Fangio and guys going, hey, you know what? We got a chance at the playoffs this year. Or is he saying, hey, we got to evaluate some of these young guys we got, see what we can build off
that's
of the future.
That's what they should do.
We know Joe Flacco's not our guy.
Right. He's definitely not their guy.
So what conversation do you think he's having? We can make it to the playoffs or let's build off
I hope. I mean, so maybe they should trade him, get something for him the next couple of weeks. So hopefully the Patriots are in on Emmanuel Sanders. Your guy.
Yes.
Mohamed Sanu on a Falcons team that just lost to the Cardinals.
They're 1-5.
They're 1-5. Dan Quinn, has he been fired yet? Have we updated that?
Nah.
Have we refreshed
He has not.
He has not been fired yet. He's on his way.
Supposedly, they were going to make a decision during the bye week, which is week 9. But.
All right. Well, they can fire him in a couple of weeks then, I suppose. They're 1-5.
Mohamed
Sanu. Cardinals just beat him.
Yeah, Mohamed Sanu would be a good fit.
I don't love him as much as you do. Because I don't think – I would rather take a chance with N'Keal Harry and give him more playing time.
Right. See, that's where you and I differ.
Yeah.
So,
because you like the veteran guy. And so is Brady. You're probably right.
And he's a guy that we've seen play at a high level before in the NFL.
Yeah. Some of the other guys would be like A.J. Green and Tyler Eifert. I mean, those teams were terrible. Or the Bengals lost again.
Now, let's get into the real guys here.
Who's the real guy?
Let's get into the meat and potatoes.
What's the meat and potatoes?
Keenan Allen.
Oh, boy.
Mm. Keenan Allen. 2 years left on his contract.
You think they would really trade him? He's got to be their best player. Who's better than him on that team?
Right, but where's this team going? They didn't want to pay.
They're going to a new stadium.
They didn't want to pay Melvin Gordon.
No, they didn't.
You got Phillip Rivers.
He's on the end there.
Right? Who? Where are you going? What's your future?
Yeah.
What's your future here? Keenan Allen, when you look at him, he's 27 years old. You look at, where are we going here?
Yeah.
Are we tearing this down if we're the Chargers and trying to rebuild it from the ground up? Maybe you could get a couple good draft picks for Keenan Allen.
Yeah, you would definitely have to go first and a what? More than that, right?
Maybe I'd give up a first and a third for Keenan Allen.
Who's their backup? Oh, they have Tyrod Taylor? That's not going to work. And then they also drafted a kid, looks like, in the 5th round. So they're sticking with Phillip Rivers until the wheels fall off on that one.
Right, they are. But
Keenan Allen, I'm with you on Keenan Allen. I mean, that would be amazing if they could get Keenan Allen.
They're sticking with Phillip Rivers, but you got to put your mind, like I said, put yourself in that. We are in the meeting room, okay?
I'm sitting there. I got you.
We're sitting in the meeting room with the Chargers brass, and we're saying, hey, what are we doing here? We are 2-4. What's the chances we can make the playoffs, or do we need to now start figuring out where we go for the future?
I mean, think about it. The Chargers have the same record as the Broncos.
Right.
They have the same record as the Steelers without Roethlisberger. They have the same record as the Browns. They have the same record as the Jaguars and the Titans. I mean, yeah, that's bad. That's pretty bad. I would not anticipate Antonio Brown coming back, but it's week 6. He's trying to get to the bottom of things. We'll see what happens.
But it goes back to the question of guys that could potentially be on the market.
Yeah.
Right? We know Manny Sanders. Now, I know it could be wishful thinking of the Keenan Allen, but the reality of Stephon Diggs, probably not going to happen. I do like the O.J. Howard Buccaneers tight end.
Yeah, that's another one.
So I wouldn't mind going down that road if you wanted to go down that road. The A.J. Green one, I'd roll the dice.
I would, too. I would definitely take a shot at it. But I would just be so afraid he's going to get hurt again,
and the
too.
Money is going to be the biggest thing with A.J. Brown. And that's why I asked the question, is it possible for the Cincinnati Bengals to restructure his deal? And then more teams
then
would be
get more.
Yeah, more teams would be interested
maybe
in doing that.
All right, Tom Brady was on the Greg Hill Show this morning, as he is every Monday during the football season. We'll have our Tom Brady midday replay. There's a few things. He always makes news. Always. Every time he talks. So there's a few things I want to sort of pick apart, as we always do with Tom Brady. We'll do that coming up next. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.